This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, nationwide, there are over 100,000 people on waiting lists for organ donations. And kidneys are among the organs with the greatest demand and the greatest transplant success. We're here to tell us more about the process of evaluation and waitlisting for a kidney transplant is Lavelle Jones, a registered nurse and the pre-transplant coordinator for Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Lavelle. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So nationwide, I guess kidneys are in very high demand. Tell us about that. I mean, why is there a shortage nationwide?
There's a shortage because of the lack of awareness of people to donate. Diabetes is growing on a whole. People are lacking the management of their diabetes, so then they're requiring dialysis to maintain their life. And if people don't know, you know, how to maintain their health, then that can cause the risk of kidney transplant being so great.
So in other words, because the diabetes is growing in our country, we know it's at epidemic proportions, more people go into kidney failure and may actually be in need of a transplant.
Yes, that's correct.
Whereas that's really changed. And has there been a concomitant increase in knowledge or awareness of the need for donation? Because it sounds to me like there are just not enough kidneys around.
Right. I think the need for donation could be increased by making people aware, like going out, doing outreaches in churches and communities, you know, just to make the awareness greater for people.
How is the shortage affecting lives right now, though? Are people dying on wait lists?
Yes, people are dying on the waiting list due to long term of being on dialysis. It can weaken the heart and decrease the overall quality of life because transplant is ultimately the best goal for patients in need of who have end-stage renal disease.
And you've seen some really positive results with transplants.
Oh, yes, I have. I've been doing this over, you know, about 8 years now, and it's been really great, and it's very rewarding to see patients get a kidney transplant.
Their lives do change
dramatically? Oh, yes. People go back to work. We even have patients volunteer in the clinic to see our new recipients going through the process.
Well, that's wonderful. That's really a positive thing. So how is it that people can donate now? I mean, what are the types? I know that there's the living donation so that you find someone who's a match and they actually can give you one of their kidneys.
Right. So there's living donation where, you know, someone can come forward to donate to you. You don't have to stress yourself trying to figure out their blood type. We can do that part and check for compatibility. And even if they're an incompatible donor with you, maybe they'll agree to do a swap with another person who has a donor that's compatible with you. And also we have anonymous donors who come forward. They want to do a good deed and donate one of their kidneys. And if you happen to be a good match for them, there's a chance you could receive that kidney.
Wow. So there really are, that in terms of the living donors, there are options. And how about how you can donate a kidney prior to your death? How does that happen?
Some people do directed donation. If they know they're not going to do well and the family members know their wishes, they can agree to donate to somebody like a family member in need of a kidney transplant. We've had a few success stories as well with that. People have done direct donations.
So the idea here is that you can donate in a variety of ways, mm-hmm. in terms of the resources for kidneys. In your experience, are there more living donors giving kidneys, I mean, in what you've seen, versus getting them from people who've died?
It's kind of equivalent right now with living and deceased donors. We do strongly encourage living donors. However, you know, if everybody signs the organ donation card or make sure their families are aware of their wishes, then that increases the deceased donor transplants.
So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with pre-transplant coordinator Lavelle Jones. We're talking about the need for kidney donation, and we're going to start talking a little bit about the process because, Lavelle, that's where you come in.
Yeah.
So let's say you need a kidney. You're one of those people out there who discovers that they need it. They've been on dialysis. They really could benefit from a new kidney. What's the process? First of all, how do they end up in your program at Upstate, and then what happens after that?
So usually you're referred by your kidney doctor. The best time is before you even start dialysis. You don't have to wait till you're on dialysis to be in need of a kidney transplant. The earlier you start the process, the better. So if you are on dialysis, you know, you should get referred as soon as possible.
So the idea here is that if someone already knows they have advanced kidney disease such that they might need dialysis, then they really, really need to think in terms of the kidney transplant. So then what happens? They are referred to your program, and what takes place?
So once you're referred, we do an intake process where we screen it to look at your risk factors, because ultimately the goal with transplant is to improve your quality of life. So if you have cardiac problems and things, we want to make sure we have the cardiac clearance needed. So once you come to our program, you start off with an education session for about an hour. And then you're here for a 4-hour visit total, sometimes a little longer, depending on what other testing we might require. But at that time, you'll meet with the transplant surgeon or the transplant nephrologist, our nutritionist, our social worker, our financial coordinator, who will go over your estimated cost, how much the meds may cost you after transplant based on your current insurance. So it's very important to keep us updated about your insurance if it ever changes.
Is most of this kind of stuff covered by insurance these days?
A lot of it is, but some patients may have big out-of-pocket expenses. So we want to make sure that they can afford to take the meds, because in the event that they can't, they will lose the transplant.
So the meds have to do with the rejection and
yes,
maintaining the body so that it accepts the new kidney.
Yes.
So what's exactly the process of evaluating? In other words, what factors go in to determine who is a good candidate and how to find a match?
Okay. So we're looking at your cardiac status, your pulmonary status. If those are in good qualities, you know, you will continue through the process. But to find a match, we look at your blood typing, and we look at the potential donor's blood typing to make sure you're compatible. We also look at your antigens, which we do tissue typing through the tissue typing lab on your initial evaluation day as well.
So an antigen is the thing that would reject the kidney. So you...
Antigen is just checking for compatibility. So we look at 6 of them. They're genetic markers specific to you. So the more that match between you and a donor, the better chance of your body not rejecting the kidney. So if it's a 6 out of 6 match, that's a perfect match kidney. So the more that match there, the better. However, sometimes you don't have to match the antigens. Antibodies are the ones where your body may reject the kidney and try to fight it off. So we want to avoid antibodies.
Okay. So once again, how many people right now are on a waiting list in our region?
Currently, we have 276 patients approximately on the waiting list here at SUNY Upstate.
So how does, again, so you go, you come in, you have all of these evaluations done, they counsel you, they talk to you about the process, what to expect, all of that, and then what happens to you?
Then we take your information and we do a comprehensive review of you at our interdisciplinary team meeting to make sure you are a suitable candidate. So if everything adds up and you're found to be a suitable candidate, then you would receive a phone call from me telling you you're placed on the waiting list, and you'll get a letter informing you that you're placed on the waiting list.
How is the decision made where you fall on the waiting list? Is it only a matter of when you've come into the process, or are other factors, do other factors play a role?
That's a good question. A lot of patients think once they're on the waiting list, we can say what number you are. We never truly know what number you're on the waiting list until we actually have a kidney offer for you. Then we can tell you what number you are for that donor.
So do other things, for example, like age, gender, or comorbid, you know, other medical problems play a role in that decision in terms of whether you are going to be moved up on the list or moved down on the list, or even, if I may add, something like wealth? I know that there was a talk at one time that wealthier people were getting organs ahead of people perhaps who were less wealthy.
So, no, we don't base it on the amount of money you have or the wealth that you are. So what it means, it is a lot of factors that go in place. Your age, a lot of your diagnosis, they add up as points. So we have a system called UNET where we put all your information in, so the computer actually tells us how well you match that donor. So when an offer becomes available, those factors will play in, come into place, excuse me, your age, because we want to match it closer to the recipient. We want to make sure you have a kidney that'll give you a long life, or if you're an older recipient, they'll try to match it to you where you at least get good life out of that kidney.
So that's where age plays a role. In other words, it doesn't play a role necessarily that if you're older, you won't be a candidate. It's saying that if you're older, we'll be looking for a kidney that's somewhat age matched to you.
Right. So we want to find something age appropriate for you. So that way, you know, it'll be a closer match based on your current age.
Currently, you say there's 276 people waiting. What's an average wait time?
Average waiting time is about 4 years unless you have a living donor.
And if you have a living donor, that means you have brought someone that you know who's stepped forward to say, I'd like to try to donate.
Right, or sometimes your family members may contact us without you even knowing to go through the process. So it can take 6 to 12 weeks for a donor process, depending on where that donor falls. If they work out as a donor, you could possibly get a transplant within about 2 months. But we want to make sure you as the recipient are ready medically for a transplant.
So both sides have to be fully evaluated.
Yes.
And then determined if it's a match. Is it harder these days to find matches, or is it easier with the technology that we have?
I think it's easier with the technology to determine the suitable match for a recipient.
But it sounds to me like the problem still lies in the fact that not that many people come forward to offer. I mean, you know, or even are willing to donate after death. Because I read somewhere that there's a relatively new law called Lauren's Law in New York State, where now anyone who's over 18 and goes to the DMV to get a new license has to answer the question, yes or no, if they would be willing to donate an organ. And that's a pretty new step in terms of trying to get the word out and get people aware, as you said before, that this is something they can do, and it doesn't have to be while they're alive.
Yes, that's true. And the more, you know, if everybody signs up, especially, you know, when you turn 18, we encourage you strongly to say yes or no to organ donation. Of course, we would love for you to say yes. And again, if everybody speaks to their family members and let them know that you need a transplant, or even just to talk about organ donation in general.
Do people who are living and given a kidney generally do well after that type of surgery?
Oh, yes, they do very well. We've had donors go home within a day of donation. Usually the average time usually is, it used to be about 3 days, but I've seen people go home anywhere between 1 and 3 days. And donors do well, and they primarily just need pain medicine just for the discomfort that they have from the donation.
Wow. Well, obviously a very good cause. Obviously what you're doing is crucial for all of those 276 people and future people who are going to be on the wait list. So I want to thank you so much for all of your help and this very interesting information. My guest has been registered nurse Lavelle Jones. She's the pre-transplant coordinator for the Upstate Medical University. Once again, thanks for helping us.
Thank you.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.